Been preaching a series of messages on the subject of the eagle, and this morning is the third message. I preached this series of messages about 7 years ago when we first came to Mount Lebanon, and I'd prayed about it, and I'm very thankful the Lord led me back into us. There have been some things that's helped me, and I hope we'll help you in your Christian life. Studying about the subject of the eagle, the Lord showed me some new things I didn't see before, and experiences and scripture. And so I pray and trust it'll be a help to us all studying about the life of the eagle. Job chapter 39 and verses 27 through 30. Let's read those verses. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I am still coughing. I didn't yesterday, but this morning woke up. I tell you, this stuff never leaves. But Job 39, verse 27, the Bible said, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there's she." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings you've given to us. Lord, as we come this morning, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts from thy word. Help us. Lord, help me. I pray you'd help us as thy people. God, that we'd realize, Lord, that we are called to live a different life. While we sojourn here on this earth, we are to be different. We're to live a life that others would like to look up to and can look up to. Lord, we can't do this in and of ourselves. We need thy help. Lord, I pray you'd help us from thy word today. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd draw us closer unto thee. God, I'm sure every one of us this morning, if we were honest, we'd say we need to have a closer walk. Be where we can pray and where we can witness and have power on our lives. Father, I pray that for my life. I pray you'd help me. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that's lost, Lord, you'd show them their great need of salvation. Lord, protect us and watch over us and help us. Lord, we pray for all those that are sick and battling with all the different things there are in this life. And Lord, we especially pray today for all those that have lost loved ones, and not only that, but homes and businesses and many of them, all their possessions, Lord, in this earthquake in Japan. God, we pray for these people, Lord. I don't know anybody personally, but God, if that was us, Lord, we'd sure want people praying for us. So we pray for them today. God, that you'd help as only you can. We pray and ask for your will to be done. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And amen. Here in Job chapter number 39, the eagle, part number 3, I guess it'd be what you'd call it. So far, we've looked at 5 things about the eagle, and I'm not going to take but just a moment to mention those 5 things about the eagle that we've seen so far. All of these 5 things we've shown you from the Scripture. We've talked about the supremacy of the eagle and how even in the Bible, the highest bird in God's order is the eagle. Several places in the Bible we could go to show that. The eagle is mentioned 34 times in the Scripture. We looked at the supremacy of the eagle. We looked at the solitude of the eagle, how that it is not a bird that lives in a flock with other birds, but it's a bird that lives by itself and lives up on high. We talked about that just a little bit, but talked about how we need to live our lives with God. And we talked about the soaring of the eagle, how the eagle lives its life under the influence of another, talking about the wind and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We talked about the steadfastness of the eagle in verse 28, where the eagle lives and dwells and abides on the rock in the strong place, and that's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse number 29, her eyes behold afar off. That's what we looked at last week, talking about her sight. and how that the eagle could see things that other birds cannot see. And so that's the five things that we've looked at so far. Today I want to show you something that is not found in the text, but is found in between the text. It's found in between the lines as we study about the life of the eagle. And the aim of what the Lord showed me this time as we've looked at these messages, what I have gotten out of it is how that God wants me to live a life of majesty. God wants you and I to live lives as Christians that others will look at and be amazed by. Not because we're anything, because we're not better than anybody else. And if we live a life that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be because of His influence and His power in our lives. I read a little story about this group of people, and I forget exactly where they were, maybe in a restaurant, and somebody said, "Oh, look, there's an eagle." And people got up out of their chairs, and they went over, and they was all looking out the window at the eagle, and then somebody said, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's just a hawk," and everybody went back and sat down. Now, they're both beautiful to watch fly in the sky, but people are more interested in seeing the eagle fly than the hawk fly. And it talked about in that story how that everybody desires to see the majestic. And when you think about the eagle, that is what we see in its life. People want to see majesty. And when you think about our lives lived before the Lord, people want to see Christians that really live Christian lives, not somebody that just says, "I'm a Christian," but somebody that really lives it out in their lives. And that's what I've gotten from this series of messages so far. God wants me to live the life of an eagle. He wants us to live and fly on high. But I want to show you some things today that are in between the text. Here's what I mean by that. I want us to see sixth of all today. I'm just going to show you one thing today. That is her secret. And what I'm talking about describes what is taking place between verse 28 and verse 29. Verse 28, the Bible says, "She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, in the strong place." This is where she lives. The eagle lives on a rock. That's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 29, the Bible says, "From thence," talking about up on that rock, "she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off." What I'm talking about is what the eagle does every day, every morning. The eagle will go through a process called preening. Preening. And that word, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to take care of oneself. Like somebody might get up and take an extra long time combing their hair, fixing their face, standing in front of the mirror, getting ready for the day. And we might say they're in there preening. They're in there getting ready. They're in there taking care of their self. The eagle does that every day. Those that have been blessed to witness this firsthand say that the eagle will take about an hour. It's a process that the eagle goes through every day. And while that eagle is sitting there on that nest, it will pass every feather through its beak, through its mouth. Many of you have seen birds do this. And it'll pass every feather on its body through its mouth. While it does that, the eagle breathes out steam. What it is doing, it is cleaning itself every morning before it starts the day. Also, the eagle has a preening gland, and that preening gland in the eagle's beak, it secretes an oil. And so it is cleaning itself, and that oil gets on each and every individual feather, and it does several things for the eagle. It makes the eagle more aerodynamic. It makes the eagle waterproof. It makes the eagle look good. You know, men used to buy Vitalis, and when they'd go get their hair cut or every morning, they'd put that oil through their hair, you know, and it'd make their hair stick together and stay in place. And I guess that's before hairspray and mousse and all of that stuff. But That's what the eagle does. This process, it seals the individual hairs of each feather together, and it helps the eagle when it's flying. Once the eagle is done with that process, then it will set on the side of its nest to observe its territory and begin to hunt, as it says in verse number 29. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyelids behold afar off. Now, I believe that this is a process that is referred to in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, where the Bible says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There's something that every Christian needs to learn, and that is the process of waiting before the Lord, getting alone before God, and preparing your heart and your mind and your soul before you go out to meet the new day. I picked up a book at the library, and it's a book on, I think the name of it is How to Spot Hawks and Eagles. A hawk and an eagle is known as a raptor. You know, they're hunting birds. But one thing I learned in that book, and I read almost the whole book, and I didn't learn very much out of it, but I read one little paragraph in there that I really got a blessing out of. It said, if you want to become an eagle watcher, then you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn and be out there when the sun comes up, because you'll not begin to see hawks and eagles and birds of this nature until on up in the morning. And the reason you don't see them until on up into the morning, it's not that they're laying in the bed being lazy, but they take a whole lot of time in the morning to preen themselves. And then another thing that book said that they were doing, they were waiting on the sun. Wouldn't that help you if you'd learn in your life? You know what's wrong with a lot of us? We go out in this world before we have prepared ourselves. We have not waited on the sun, the S-O-N. We've not spent any time before God. And so we go out into the workaday world and we look like we've just got out of the bed spiritually and act like it. And we have no power in our lives. We have no beauty in our lives. We have no effectiveness in our lives. We have no victory in our lives. Why? We've not done the thing that we are told and taught in the Bible that we need to do. We've not waited before God. We've not prepared before we go out to meet the new day. It'd help us. I'm not saying to lay in the bed, but I'm saying we need to wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So this process of preening and waiting in the morning for the heat of the day, for the sun to come and warm things up, this process can be compared to the Christian in his daily life of prayer and devotion. Psalms 91 and 1, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Until you learn in your Christian life the importance of the secret place, you'll never be a victorious Christian. Never really be what you could be and ought to be for God until you learn about the secret place. So let me show you some things today about her secret. Number one, the eagle in this, she is consistent. What I mean by that, the eagle does this every day, what we would call religiously. Now the eagle does it naturally. It's just part of its life. It's what it does every day. We call something that we get in a good habit of, we call it religiously, but the eagle does this naturally. It's not an option in the eagle's life. It is a part of the eagle's life that the eagle takes part. The eagle does 7 days a week. The eagle never wakes up and thinks, "I think I'll be lazy today and just sit around with my hair and my feathers all disheveled from sleeping tonight. And I think I'll just skip that this morning." It's a creature of habit. Does it every day. You know, there's bad habits and there's good habits. There's some good habits that we as God's children need to learn how to get into. I remember when I first began to get serious about my walk with the Lord. Now, I was saved when I was 9 years old. I know that. I was saved right across the hill over here at Brushy Fork Baptist Church. I was saved, but I never really learned very much about walking with the Lord, about how important it was for me to prepare my heart and my life and my Christian walk. I mean, I was like, I think a whole lot of people out here, I was saved, but I didn't look much like it. A lot of times I didn't act much like it. A lot of times I didn't talk much like it. I didn't live much like it. If you'd observed me from the outside looking at my life, you might have said, now, he says he's saved, but he sure don't act like it. I was about 18, 19 years old, somewhere along in there. And Kim and I, of course, we were married and living in the country of England. And we began to attend the Faith Baptist Church over there. And I really began to see that I needed to not just sit on the pew and say I say, but I needed to live for God. I began to see, and the preacher, he'd preach on these things. He'd preach on reading your Bible every day, and he'd preach on having a prayer life and a devotional life and walking with God. And I remember when I very first began to see the importance of that in my life, and I was having a terrible time trying to do that on my own. You know, you can be saved and try to do good, but what you'll find out is you can't do a very good job. What you need to learn is you can't do that on your own. You need the help of the Lord. You say, preacher, how do I get the help of the Lord to live for God in this wicked world? You need to learn to pray every morning. Every morning. But I remember learning about that and beginning to read my Bible every day, try to have a prayer time. The preacher talked about how you need to have a prayer list and pray over that every day, and how a Christian ought to try to read through the Bible every year. And I began to try to do some of those things in my life. And I remember, first of all, I would read my Bible Monday through Saturday. Monday through Friday, because I was working and I really needed the Lord to help me where I worked. It was hard. I mean, it's hard to live for God and be in the Air Force and be around all the things that you're around. And then on Saturday, I was off and I had some time, so I would devote some extra time on Saturday. But I remember learning the lesson that I began to notice in my life, and I didn't do it on Sunday because I thought, well, I'm going to church. If I'm going to get, I'll lay in a little bit later and I'll get up and go to church and I'll get what I need from God when I get to church, you know. And I remember when I learned that, I seen in my life that I was doing better Monday through Saturday and I was failing on Sunday. God showed me something. He said, you need me first thing in the morning every day. There's not one day. You can't even live for God on Sunday. It ought to be the easiest day of the week. You're getting up to go to church. But you know what you'll find out if you don't put God first? You'll find out the devil doesn't take Sunday off either. And next thing you know, before you've got the house of God, you'll be in the biggest fight and fuss with your own family, and everything in the world has gone wrong. And if you have cows, they know when Sunday is. That's when they'll get out. I mean, everything will go wrong. Dog gets gone, car won't start, oil tank's out. I mean, it can happen on every day. And I begin to see, you know what? I need to do this. I need to be like the eagle. I need to have God in my life. I need to preen. I need to get before God, read my Bible, say my prayers on Sunday, Monday through Friday, on Saturday morning, every day. God began to help me in my life. She is consistent. She does this every day. Something else I want to show you this morning. The eagle is consistent in doing this every morning. The eagle doesn't preen at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The day would be gone. The hunting time would be over. The battles would have already come and gone. What good is it going to do the eagle to preen right before the sun goes down and she's getting ready to go to bed? No, the eagle preens. The eagle does this every single morning. I don't know how many times I've counseled with people down through the years, and you talk about people, you know, I'm just a practical person. If you want to live for God, if you want to walk with God, you need to read your Bible every day. You need to pray every day. And I talk to people and they say, you read your Bible? Yes, I read my Bible every day when I can. Now, if that's your attitude, you know what when you can works out to be? Never. Or the last thing of the day, right before you fall off into unconsciousness, into bed. I told you, I think it was last week, I read before I go to sleep, but I don't read anything that matters because I'm not paying attention. As soon as I lay down, it's not just a few minutes. I'm out of it. I can't read. What good's it going to do you to get your spiritual battery charged right before you lay down and go to sleep? You've already went through all the battles today. You've already failed in what you tried to do. You've already been through. You need it first thing in the morning, not last thing. I've learned I can't even wait till after breakfast. I can't even wait till the coffee's made, because I'll tell you how the devil is. The devil gets up early too. Somebody called me real early one morning and I said, what are you doing calling me this morning? He said, preacher, I know you get up early. And I said, I do get up early, but not to talk to you. That's not helping me in my Christian life. Now, if they'd have needed anything, it'd been different. But just to call to talk, I said, I do get up early, but not to talk to you. I get up early to talk to God. The eagle gets up every morning and does this. The eagle preens every morning. If you want to have victory in your Christian life, if you want to have joy, if you want to have power in the day, then try putting God first, not last. I know how it is. I know you get busy. I know the alarm clock didn't go off and all of these things, but there's some things in life that are worth putting forth the effort for. We find in the Bible the pattern in the Bible. The Bible doesn't even teach just pray and read when you can. In the Bible, we find the pattern of early meeting with God. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, the Word of God says, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. The Bible teaches an early meeting with God. The Bible teaches meeting with God first. Look in your Bibles. Keep your place there. But turn to Mark chapter number 1. That won't take you but just a second to find. Mark chapter number 1. I want to show you the pattern of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great little verse over there that teaches us this principle of meeting God early and walking with God. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 35. This is talking about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Would you believe there's 6 things in that one verse about meeting God early? There's 6 things in that verse that we could point out this morning. Quickly, I'll try to point them out. The Bible said, and in the morning, there's the first one. Jesus got up in the morning to meet and to pray with God. Number 1, in the morning. Number 2, rising up. Now, if you want to really get in the habit of meeting with God, you're probably going to have to get up early. Unless your job doesn't start till 10 o'clock or something like that, but most people start about 7 or 8 o'clock. And I know you got to drive there, and I know you got to eat breakfast and get the kids ready, and there's no telling how many things. And you know what I learned in my Christian life was I needed to get up about an hour before I really needed to get up so that I'd have time to spend with God. If I don't take time to get up and rise early, then I miss that most important part of the day. People say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Well, reading your Bible, praying, talking with God, getting your heart right, that's the most important part of your day. The Bible said in the morning, rising up, Number three, a great while before day. Now, I know there are things out here in the advertising world and in the Christian bookstore that would give you the impression, such as a one-minute Bible. Well, if you get in the habit of 1 minute, you're going to be about a one-minute Christian. I don't know how anybody can get anything in 1 minute. It takes me about 5 minutes to block all the thoughts that invade my mind and get set down and get settled and get quiet and just get where I can spend some time with God. Jesus got up not just early in the morning, but a great while before day. Say, preacher, oh, I'm not a morning person. Go to bed earlier. Especially you young people. I don't know what it is about young people. Maybe because you can. I can't. I used to study late. I can't do that anymore. My body shuts down. My mind quits working like it ought to. And Brother Lester Roloff, he would say that every hour before midnight is worth 2 hours after. Go to bed. If you go to bed earlier, you can get up earlier. A great while before day, before the day started, Jesus got up. That's the fourth thing. He went out and departed into a solitary place. He went to somewhere where he could be alone. It is tough when you're traveling or something like that. I've tried everything under the sun, especially when we were missionaries and on deputation and we was all traveling together and stay in the same motel room places and things like that. I found out it was extra hard to spend some time with God. I'd have to go, if it's warm, you know, you could go outside or go out and sit in the car or something like that. But just get somewhere in your house or somewhere at work before it starts or something, just get where you can get alone with God. A solitary place. And then, last of all, the Bible said, and there prayed. There prayed. Jesus made the effort. If Jesus made the effort to get up early, a great while before day, to take the time and the effort to get into a solitary place to pray and to talk to His Heavenly Father, don't you think we need to? Sure. We find that example in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to Job, first of all, she is consistent. She does this every day. She does this every morning. Second of all, not only is she consistent, but she's careful. She's very careful in this. As I've already said, the eagle will spend at least an hour of time in the preening process. Takes a great while to do this. The eagle, during the preening, will pass every feather through its beak. The eagle has about 6,000 feathers. It has its wings, its breast, its back, its tail, its legs, its head. And you know, from looking at an eagle and the way they're designed, it can reach every part of its body except, of course, the very tip top of its head. But everything else, its neck, its back, it can touch and all of this part is, she's very careful to make sure, because to the eagle, it's not just a matter of looking good. It's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of eating or not. It's a matter of being able to stand the storm when it comes and all of these things. And it's just as important for you this morning. David said in Psalms 144, verse 9, he said, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. David likened his life unto an instrument that had 10 strings. What's a guitar have? 6? I couldn't play a 1-stringed instrument. But evidently he had some kind of instrument that had 10 strings, and he likened his life before God as an instrument upon 10 strings. And you know as well as I do that all of them have to be in tune or the thing won't play. If it does, it'll sound awful. Are you in tune this morning? Abigail bought Chloe a little purple guitar. You know, one of these kids, it looks real. It has, you know, has the way to tune it and has the strings and all of those things. And she brought that home and we got to looking in the box and it said on a piece of paper, it said, "This instrument is not tunable." That's how some of us are. We might look all right on the outside and look like the real thing and even get a note or two here and there, but I'll tell you, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're not tunable. If you are saved by the grace of God and you don't take the time to prepare your heart every day, you're not going to be in tune to God. You're just not going to be. And you know how awful it is to listen to something that is not in tune? It hurts. If you have any sense of tone in your life to hear something or singing or an instrument or something, it's not in tune and it's not pleasing to the ears. And I think sometimes we as Christians, all we are concerned about is what the very, very outside looks like. But we need to be concerned with the strings that maybe we don't play all the time or other people don't hear. I know on that piano that the majority of the playing goes on in those middle keys, but if you had to get on either end and it was out of tune, it would sound awful. And, you know, we need to be careful in our lives that we're not just for show. We need to be careful that we're for real. And to be real before God, it takes a real thorough preening process. That means that I open my heart and my life to God. And I'm not just concerned about being an outward Christian, but I want to be right on the inside as well. And I say, "Oh Lord, search me, oh God, and know my thoughts." That's the only way you're going to have victory and power in your life. Not by just looking like it on the outside, but being real and in tune in every aspect of our lives. That is seen and that which is not seen. That which is evident for others to see. And that is that's on the inside that only we know about. Hatred, bitterness, strife, lying, whatever goes on. Whatever's deep, deep, deep in there. Struggle, sins that you struggle with. God knows about that. We need to be careful. The eagle is very careful to make sure it goes over its whole body and preens every feather on its body. She is careful. Number three, she is cleansed and anointed. That's what this process does. As I said, when the eagle passes a feather through its beak, it cleanses because it breathes out, makes steam on those feathers. And that preening gland secretes an oil. Oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. What the eagle is doing is cleansing itself and anointing itself. That's what the process does. And that's what meeting early with God will do for you. It'll cleanse you for the new day. It will anoint you for the new day as well. And we need that. You know, the very fact that there's such a thing as a new day is a blessing. God gives us a new day. God gives us a new hour. I was studying over there about the children of Israel and the Day of Atonement. And you know what the children of Israel would do on the Day of Atonement? They would bring their sins for 1 year. And that's what the Day of Atonement was for. The Day of Atonement would put off that judgment for 1 more year. Aren't you glad you don't have to have sins on your heart and on your mind for a year or a week or even a day or an hour, but we can come. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need that daily anointing. We need that daily cleansing before the Lord. Psalms 92 and 10 says, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I like that. I need the Lord's help every day. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Daily I need the Lord's help to walk for Him, to live for Him. My spiritual tank needs filling up. Everybody that drives a car, you know you've got to stop and fill it up every once in a while. You know you got to take care of your battery and change your oil and put air in your tires and make sure if you don't, you'll break down and it'll cost you heavily. And that's the way our spiritual life is as well. Many times we just go and go and go. And what is wrong with us? We need help every day. Every day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." We need that day by day inward man to be renewed. I think about, and he talks there, he said, "Though our outward man perish." When I thought about that, I thought about some of these old men of God that I've known that have gone on to be with the Lord. I think about Preacher Arn or my Grandpa Cornette, how that although they were very advanced in age, if you ever knew any of them, and there's others I could mention this morning, even though they were old, they still had a sparkle in their eye. They had life. They had something about them that I wanted to be around. I remember one time me and Preacher Mark Hodges, we were taking Preacher Arnt to a revival over, Rock Creek, where he used to pastor at over there, and we went pretty early, and we went and went to his house, and he invited us in. We went a little bit early, and we sat down and talked to him, and I mean, just had the best time, and he told us about things and revivals. Boy, what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to be around somebody like that. I remember sitting down and talking with my Grandpa Cornette, and I remember thinking to myself, he won't always be here. I said, "Tell me about the greatest revival you was in." Boy, he sat up on the edge of his chair, and he said, "Well, one time," and he began to tell me about a church he used to pastor and all these people getting saved and later on getting baptized and all of these things. I think to myself, I'd like to be somebody that had some life about me that I could tell them about something that really mattered in life. See, Paul knew the key to the thing. He said, our inward man needs to be renewed day by day. David knew something about it. Psalms 103 verse 5. He said, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." See, if you study and read about eagles, one thing you'll find out, it is very, very hard to tell the difference between a real old eagle and a younger adult eagle. Because their youth is renewed. Their eyesight gets better with age, not worse. I told you about that. David said, "So thy youth is renewed like the eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." She is careful. She is cleansed and anointed. Number four this morning, she is conditioned. And then we come up to verse number 29. When the eagle has went through this process of preening itself, preparing itself for the day, then she is ready. She is conditioned for what will happen in verse 29. "From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off," the Bible says. Now she's ready for the new day and all the things that it brings. And I know how life is. I know you get busy and all of these things. Saturday morning, I got busy. And I was trying to study. I thought to myself, I've got three meals I need to prepare today. Kim was gone. She was working, so I put something in the crock pot. That takes longer than you think, especially for me, because I have to read the directions so many times. But that took longer. But as I was in there, I wasn't wasting time. I thought, well, what could I listen to that would help me? And so I turned on the radio, and I was listening there. And Boy, I got a blessing out of that. The songs, the Christian songs. What I'm saying is, we live in a day and a time, there is no excuse for you to go around unfed. You can get the Word of God on a cassette tape or a CD. You say, preacher, there's good preaching. Kim was flipping the channels last night, and right before we went to bed, and flipped over one channel there just a second, and both of us said, that was Dewey Williams. He's a preacher over in Bristol. I mean, we are blessed all round about us with opportunities to hear the Word of God, good Christian influence, churches, preachers, singers. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. It's not like we're living in the dark ages and have a page out of the Bible. You know, I've read more than one time about Christians in a community that would have one Bible, take it all apart and send one or two pages home with every family. We're not living in those days. There's no excuse. We ought to be conditioned. We ought to be ready for what comes along in verse number 29. I'll give you just a few things along those lines. She is conditioned. She is ready for the flight. The preening conditions the bird and makes it more aerodynamically fit to fly. And so when it flies, things go smoother than if it just jumped out of the nest and took off flying. You know what you'd find out in your life? If you'd learn to preen, if you'd learn to get along with God and get your heart right before you go out to meet the day, what you'd find out is your life would go smoother. Oh, the wind is still going to blow and the rain is still going to come, but if you have prepared for it, it's going to go a whole lot smoother. That's the first thing I noticed in my young Christian life is when I began to read my Bible and study and pray every morning before I went out, I began to realize that life didn't bother me near as much then as it had before I'd been trying to live it in the power of my own flesh. And so she's conditioned. She's ready for the flight. She is ready for the fight. Preening makes the eagle a flying, aerodynamic, fighting machine, and it can go about and it can hunt and get its food and fight off the enemies that are to be avoided and all of these things. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Do you know, this life's a fight sometimes. And you're going to have battles, and you're going to have struggles, and you're going to have problems. This crowd on television that's telling people that if they'll just send in an offering, if they'll just become a follower of their ministry, that God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and wise, and your problems go away and all that stuff, they're lying. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have problems. But you can be ready for them, and I'd like to be like Paul when I get down to the end of the way. Wouldn't it be good to say, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I like that. I believe we're getting down to the end of the fight. I hope we are. I hope the Lord Jesus is coming soon. But the eagle was ready for flight. She was ready for the fight. And she was ready for the fury that would come. Talking about the storms and the wind and the rain and all of those things. Preening makes the bird waterproof. If it didn't do that and it rained, you know what happened to it? It'd get waterlogged. Wouldn't be able to fly. If it could fly, it couldn't fly very effectively. If it got waterlogged down next to its skin, it gets sick. And if it gets sick, it couldn't get up on the rock. If it can't get up on the rock, it's more likely to die. It's a bad thing to get sick. It's a bad thing to get spiritually sick. You need to be prepared for the storms that come in life. There's a lot of people get saved, but they don't ever learn to walk with God. And I've said this before, you just don't get out of the bed and walk for God by accident. You get out of the bed. If you're going to walk for God, it's because you, on purpose, determined that day you was going to walk for God and prepared your heart and prepared your life. You just don't live for God by accident. But there's a lot of people, they get saved and then trials come into their life and they just don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to take it, and it destroys them. Kills them. They've heard this false stuff and not got in the Word of God. And I have counseled and talked with people and tried to help people. I don't know how many times down through the years. I'm talking about people that are saved or say that they're saved. I've counseled with families and homes and drug addicts and alcoholics and people with anger problems. And I mean the whole realm of things that you can have problems in. And I'll tell what it boils down to. If you're saved by the grace of God, you need to be in God's Word. You need to learn how to pray. You need to learn how to trust in God and live by faith. I remember one time talking to a fellow, and he was doing so good. He was an alcoholic, drunkard, whatever you want to name it this morning. He had serious problems in his life, and I'd been dealing with him and counseling with him and studying with him, and he was doing so good and getting the victory in his life, and he faltered. And I went to see him. I said, "What's wrong?" You know, and there's always a long list of this and this and that. And I said, "Well, let me ask you something." I said, "You reading your Bible every morning?" "No." I said, "How long you not been doing that?" "Pretty good while, a couple of months." I said, "Where'd your problem start?" Getting him to see, you know, how, well, when I quit reading, when I quit praying. Failure in your Christian life. You all know why you're having such problem and you can't get the victory. I can tell you this morning, failure in Christian life can be traced back to failure in devotional life. If Jesus, in His life, got up a great while and went and prayed, don't you think that you and I can just go through the motions of this life, because the storms will come and they'll get you down and they'll kill you if you're not careful. You need to learn the importance of what I'm talking about this morning. There is the eagle and her secret. I'd like to be like those old timers I was telling you about. And we even have some here in the church. It's got a sparkle and got life, even though the outward man perishes day by day. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and